Part 3. Chapter 10. Maelstrom. I went to my room, but I slept badly. The horrible sight of the sinking battleship kept coming into my head. I hadn't thought it would ever happen, but now I hated the sea. It was a place of great beauty, but it was also a cruel killer, and I knew if I stayed much longer, I would be its next victim. I awoke from another nightmare to see Ned and Conseil standing over me. "Professor," Ned said, "tonight's the night. We are going to escape at last." "But where are we?" I cried, still half asleep. "In sight of land. It's 20 miles to the east," Ned answered. "And what country is it?" "We don't know," Conseil admitted. "But whatever it is, that's where we are going." I sat up and saw that Ned and Conseil meant business. I thought again of the dead sailors dragged down inside their doomed battleship. "You're right," I said. "It's time to go. I would die for science, but I will not let others die for me." "And I will die for my freedom," Ned said quietly. "If anyone tries to stop me, I will fight them to the death." "I understand," I said. "Let's meet in half an hour on board the small boat." The others went back to their cabins to get their things. I put on my strong sea clothes, then collected all my research notes and put them in a leather wallet. My heart thumped in my chest as I got ready to leave. At that moment I heard the piano in the saloon. Nima was playing a sad tune. It sounded like a cry of pain. I had to creep past Nima to reach the door that led to the small boat. The saloon was in darkness, but I hoped that he wouldn't hear me above the sounds of the piano. Even if there had been a light on, I don't think Nemo would have noticed me. He was too lost in his music. I reached the door and was just about to open it when the music stopped. A sigh from Captain Nemo froze me to the spot. I heard him rising from his seat, then I caught a glimpse of him as he walked into the light that shone into the saloon from his cabin. He came towards me silently with his arms crossed, gliding like a ghost. His breathing sounded shallow and his voice broke as he said the last words I ever heard from him. "Enough. Enough." Had he had enough of his revenge? Was his conscience getting the better of him? I rushed out of the door without looking back, not knowing if Nemo had seen me or not. I leapt up the ladder that led to the small boat and crept through the opening. Ned and Conseil were already aboard. "Let's go," I said quickly. Ned closed the manhole cover behind us. Then he tried loosening the bolts that fixed the small boat to the Nautilus with a gadget he had made himself. Loud voices from inside the Nautilus made Ned pause. What was the matter? Had they discovered we were missing? I felt Ned slip a dagger into my hand. "So," I murmured, "this is how we shall die." We sat and waited, daggers in hand and ready to fight. But no one came. All we heard was one word from inside the Nautilus repeated over and over again by the sailors. "Maelstrom," they kept saying. The Maelstrom is a violent whirlpool off the coast of Norway, which few ships had ever escaped from. The Nautilus was caught in its swirling grip. Had Nemo steered towards it on purpose? Did he want to die? "Quickly," I said to Ned. "Undo the bolts. We must get free before the whirlpool takes too strong a hold of the Nautilus." But Ned was already struggling with the bolts. "It's no use," he said. "The gadget I made doesn't fit. It won't turn them." "Then we're trapped," Conseil said, "and we'll drown with Nemo." We sat in silence for a moment, thinking that we were going to die. The sound of the raging waters outside grew louder, and the boat rocked more and more violently. The steel plates of the Nautilus creaked under the strain. "We must hold on," Ned said. "Maybe the Nautilus will get free." He had hardly finished speaking when we heard the bolts groan and saw them turn without the help of Ned's homemade key. Was it the violence of the water that was freeing us, or an unseen hand from inside the Nautilus? Was this Nemo's last good act? The bolts gave way, and the boat was hurled like a stone towards the edge of the whirlpool. Then my head struck against the steel side of the boat, and everything went jumbled and dark.